It's Monday, June 6th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots of going on in the tech world. Of course, it was a big, huge Apple Day, plus it was a big Microsoft Xbox Day. Man, there's a lot to talk about, so you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, overlooking the basically greater Honolulu. Everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, you're listening or watching to the Geek News Central podcast over at geeknewscentral.com. Want to encourage you to come over to the website, check out all the great content out. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link. We've got a lot of archive podcasts now, so when you can get to this show specifically via the podcast link on the website, but if you want to get to the Robot Underpants Show or the Gadget Professor or Saturday Morning Tech, you're going to have to look in that second column of the website, and you'll find an orange box there that basically lists all of the shows that are on the website. You can subscribe to them while you're there, either via Zune or iTunes or via your favorite RSS catcher. You'll also see that each of those particular listings is hyperlinked. You can lead to their specific show page, so definitely check those out. When you're over at geeknewscentral.com, check out the great shows. I think Robot Underpants is on episode number 4. Gadget Professors, I think, on number 10, Saturday Morning Tech Show. I think we're up to episode number 23. And, of course, this show is 677, and we've been going since October of 2004, bringing you a show twice a week, released every Tuesday and Friday morning, Eastern Standard Time. So definitely be dialed in to be able to get the show immediately following its release. And, of course, if you're subscribed to the newsletter, you'll get a reminder by email that the show's been released. I'll send you an email with all of the links to all the show notes and all the details about the show. And you can get signed up for the newsletter at the website at geeknewscentral.com as well. If you got comments on today's show, you can call at 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365, or you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, I'm always available on Twitter at Geek News. Well, we got lots going on here, folks. And boy, up on Ustream tonight, and we're also up on our Amazon Flash Media Encoder for those of you at live.geeknewscentral.com or on any of the geeknewscentral.com web pages. Across our 10,000 page strong website, a lot of great writers that are putting together terrific content on a daily basis for you. So make sure you come over and visit and get subscribed to the blog as well. And that basically will get you dialed in to everything that we've got going on here at the website. And of course, if you have a Roku or a Boxy, you can watch us on the Roku via the Blueberry channel or on the Tech Podcast channel. Of course, if you have a Boxy, same thing. Those two channels are available for you to view. So definitely check out the show, kick back in your lazy boy. Also, we found that even if you have a Google TV, just come into the website and click and play on the graphic. That seems to do real well, too. We've been testing it here and playing around with it. So seems to work good. Hey, all of our shows are sponsored, of course, and we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. And we've got the .co promotion is gone. It's adios. It's out of here. And it is basically forevermore not to be provided unless they revive it. But we basically had a that deal on board. Now we've switched to a new deal. And what I'm going to show you here is a way to get a private domain name without basically for free. And this is, see if I get the right page up here. I'm all of thumbs tonight. If you ever go to Eddie.com and you go to their private domain registration area, you basically can make any domain private for only $9.99. But what we've done here is with my code, my new code called Geek Free, you're going to be able to waive this $9.99 fee. So this is with any new .coms and any transfers. You're going to get an unlimited number of registrations. You're going to be able to get this private domain registration. And what that really does is if you visit my, you know, go on Google and you do who is geeknewscentral.com, you're going to find out my name, my company's mailing address, telephone number, all the information that's associated with me with this show. But when you use the private domain registration, what that does is when someone goes, whoisyourdomain.com, and they bring that up, it basically shows some GoDaddy proxy information, and it really doesn't show your information whatsoever. It keeps you hid, keeps you anonymous. So if you have a website you want to launch and you don't, really don't want anybody to know who's writing it. Now, that being said, if someone comes after you with a court order, I don't think that protects you. But it just keeps those people that have that initial kind of wandering eyes, want to say who owns this website, look off of you. And this is a great deal. It's free for a year. And again, for any new .coms or transfers, use that code GEEKFREE when you get to the checkout counter. Now, here's another thing that you want to pay attention to as well. We've got a huge number of codes from GoDaddy. All of them are operating and underway. You can use Geek5 to save 15% on any order, $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. ComSale will get you $7.99.com renewals. ComSale2 will get you $7.49 new.coms. And, of course, a whole bunch of other codes as well for you to use from GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here and really helping us keep the lights on and through your support as well. Well, I'm totally ecstatic. Saturday at about 2:30 in the afternoon, I pressed submit for my final exam. I had two exams to take. Both of them were 2.5 hours each. It was a statistics class, and they only asked 10 questions, multiple part questions. And I used, I think, 4 hours and 30 minutes of the 5 hours that was allotted to answer the full 20 questions. But I press submit, and it gives you the instant answer. It tells you, or instant grading. It tells you how you did. And I got a B on the final exam. Overall grade for the entire course was a B, and I am now finished. No more school, at least for a year. Because I went to pick up my cap and gown today, and the lady says, well, here's your graduate paperwork. We want you to make sure that you get signed up and get right into your master degree course. And I'm like, no, I'm taking some time off. So she said, oh, you don't have to re-register. It's free for 60 days. If you re-register for a class, you won't have to pay the registration fee. And I was like, okay. I'll repay the registration fee in a year. If I decide to go back for my master's degree. And I was talking on Facebook with some folks, and I've got about $41,000 of my GI Bill left. And I'm under the old plan where I cannot transfer any of the money to my spouse or my kids. I don't qualify for the post 9/11 just because there was a window of time, and I retired in that window where it couldn't be converted. But so I got that money to use, and 7 more years to use it. And it's kind of like, where am I going to spend all that money from the GI Bill? But if Uncle Sam's going to give it to me, I'm going to try to use it. Had a birthday this weekend. Andy McCaskey on the Saturday Morning Tech Show surprised me with a cake and candle. Of course, it was virtual. He wasn't able to have something delivered to my door, but he lit a candle for me. I thought it was pretty cool. So 1 year older, I quit having birthdays when I was like 21, and I just have anniversaries now. So I don't know if any of you else do that. So I'm not going to announce my age. It's already making me feel old enough, but it is what it is. My wife and I have been working on this site, and we haven't posted very much stuff yet on it, but we're going to be start writing reviews more. It's called localfoodreview.com. And we put a posting up yesterday about where I went for my birthday and the buffet that we went to that was two thumbs down. Hawaii has over 10,000 places to eat, and we definitely picked the wrong place. It wasn't bad, but it just wasn't what I wanted, what I was expecting for my birthday. But you know that at this point, who cares, right? He already talked about the Chrome Show. We're going to be launching the Chrome Show here at Geek News Central in a couple of weeks. The Chromebook arrives tomorrow, but I think the gear to get it patched into the TriCaster is going to be a few more days because I got to look at the connections and I got to make sure everything's going to be good to get it into the TriCaster. So probably what I will do is I'll wait until I get back from my two-week jaunt because I'm going to be going on travel starting this week, this coming Saturday evening. I leave, I go for a week, come back for 2 days, I graduate, then I leave for another week again. So probably what I'll do, and let me look at the calendar here, is somewhere around the 25th or 26th of June, we'll start the Chrome Show. And that's going to be as often as I can, put it out hopefully once a week. But it's going to be a show all about the Chrome OS and Chromebook and apps and everything like that. So we'll be launching that here. And as a reminder, of course, Robot Underpants is a new show at the website. Make sure you check him out. Check out Langley. And, of course, the Gadget Professor as well. Hey, we are still looking for additional show hosts. I still want to do a couple more shows here on the website. So if you are interested in becoming a show host and have a cool idea and have a cool show idea, bring it to us. Send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com and we'll consider to bring you on board. All right, let's take care of our last period of business here and get into the tech. That's what you guys are here for. And, you know, the holidays are coming up. Those of you who are not the holidays, but summer vacation time is coming up and you guys are going to want to get out of the house and go away for 2 or 3 days, maybe a week. You know, summertime is a great time to, you know, load the family up. The kids are out of school. We're talking about doing a mini staycation here where we may go over to Maui or something, but we're going to do something. And when you're away from home, really, who is watching your home? If you don't have a security system, no one's watching your home. Your home's locked up. And with the way we are with our online, our lives today online, we're tutoring, we're Facebooking, and it doesn't take too much really kind of insider information to know whether or not you're gone. And crooks are starting to use social media as a way to determine when people are away from their homes and on vacation and a great time to hit their houses to basically rob them. And having been my home attempted when I was still living at home in Michigan, it's a burglary attempt thwarted by an alarm system. And then here, basically having the posters out in the driveway and on the side of the house and on the windows that the house is protected by a security firm really gives me peace of mind. I go one step further and I've got cameras on the house and external as well. So I've got a great deal for you here by ADT. And you can call them to protect your home. And an authorized ADT dealer is going to get you set up, is going to get you hooked up with a great opportunity. You're going to get $850 worth of equipment and the activation of the service for free. All you got to do is pick up the phone, and here's, get your pencils out because you're going to write this number down. It's 866-778-3127. 866-778-3127. Give them a call and tell them that you listen to the ad on the Geek News Central podcast. You want to hear about the great deal. They are going to charge you a $99 installation charge, and there is a 36-month monitoring agreement between about $35 and up. So call for terms and conditions and license numbers. They'll get you all set up and save 20% on your home insurance. So if you've got home insurance, you get 20% off for most policies for having an alarm system. We want to thank ADT, who is the number one monitoring service in the country, and of course comes with the famous ADT yard signs, and get connected with them, and we hope that you'll get your home secure with ADT at 866-778-3127. And thanks for ADT for being a new sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, let's go ahead and get into the full-blown content tonight. I got a stack of stuff for you here. And first thing I want to start off, of course, with is let's just talk a little bit prelude to the iOS 5 announcement today by the folks at Apple. And of course, it was a big anticipated event. I had to take a shot of water there. And they, we knew new real devices were going to be announced, new phones, no new iPads or anything like that. Just they're going to talk operating system. And what Steve Jobs, Steve Jobs' words come back to kind of not haunt him, but a number of years ago, a much younger Steve Jobs says, good artists copy, great artists steal. And if you really look at what they have done with iOS 5 in syncing to the cloud and a lot of the stuff that they've added to this, we're going to talk about in a second, is basically kind of following right in behind some of the stuff that Android has already done. Not so much Windows Phone 7 and not so much BlackBerry, but definitely copying a lot of things that that Android has had. And the, many of you that have Android phones love, it's one of the features that you love about your phone. But I think what Apple always does well is they package it and they make it easy to use. And I think that's the differentiating factor. And some of you that have Android phones may disagree, but I'm almost going to guarantee you that when we all get a real close look of how this in the cloud process is going to work for our new Apple, either even OS X Lion, or if it would be the iPhone or iPad or iTouch, that experience and getting stuff synced to the cloud is going to be probably pretty slick. And so what they've done here really is, while people have been demanding this type of new abilities, the key thing I heard this morning from Steve Jobs was that they have, and we talked about this in the show last show, is that we felt that Google was going to have to move, Apple was going to have to move from the laptop or the desktop being the center of the computing universe to making the cloud the center of the universe. And I think today they went a long way towards that. First things I really heard was automatic syncing. Basically, if you take a picture on your iPhone, it's going to get sent immediately to the cloud and it'll be available near instantaneously on your iPad and other devices. So while you're going to be exchanging a lot of traffic all the time and there's going to be some bandwidth stuff going on, the ability to just have this happen and you not have to do anything is really cool. And I think it's key to this new in-the-cloud strategy. They blew it with Mobile Me. You know, my wife has a Mobile Me account. I don't have one. We got the email that it was being discontinued at the end of June 30th. So this, some of this stuff is obviously going to start rolling out with version 4.3 in iOS 5. It's not coming to the fall, so we're not going to get this full functionality. But some of the things they really announced were, you know, going to make things a lot easier for those of us that have multiple Mac devices and or Apple devices. And for the PC guys, you know, we've kind of had some of this already. You know, I've got servers set up so that my PC is synced to the cloud. I also have it backed off to basically a Windows Home server as well. So I kind of go both ways. I have it to have the media and the important media both sides of the house. But it's always been a hard thing to keep these things synchronized. And it's a big thing with this family is so many different devices, so many different pictures. I'm almost convinced now, just from a management standpoint, they're going to sell more devices because dads like me are going to say, boy, if my kids were taking pictures with an iPhone, those would automatically get bounced up to the cloud and be available. And vice versa. And it really kind of makes you think, do we want to go that route? Now, I can't afford every kid in my house to have an iPhone, obviously, so that won't happen. But for some parents and some families, you know, for my wife and I, the sharing of calendars and all that stuff we've been doing already on Google, but she loves her iPad, and she likes using the iPad calendar. So now she can share that with me real easy, and I think this thing is going to, it's going to work better for us, and we'll be able to keep abreast of each other's schedules. Another key part of the upgrade is the ability to go essentially wireless. We can now sync with just the device in our hands. Now, some of the syncing will be done when you're on mobile, but the majority of it will be when you come back at night, connect to your wireless connection in your house, and it's going to do the majority of the syncing there. And I hate tethering. I hate plugging something in. It just, how many times I leave and I leave my tether because I have a separate little power pack. So I need a special kind of charger to charge the whole contraption. And so you got to travel with the cables and hooking it up. It just sucks. It really does. So what they really announced on wireless syncing is good. These 9 cloud apps that they are going to make available for all of us are going to be awesome to be able to use. And one thing that I really got jazzed about was the iTunes integration. Now, I kind of thought what Amazon did was cool, and I signed up for Amazon's cloud service for music, and I could upload all my music. But, you know, I've got a huge, huge collection of music. Maybe 12,000 songs is what my collection is. And to send that all up to Google is a significant amount of storage every month. So what Apple really said here is we're going to do something different. We're not going to force you to upload all that music. If you have a song that is in our library, you just bought it. It's going to be up and available for you in the cloud. You pay us $25 a year, and you'll be able to sync that music into different devices, and you're going to be able to get a 256-bit quality DRM-free track of the same song. Now, let's just really think about that for a second. How many of you have sneaker netted music, shared stuff with friends? You all have, right? We all have. Can I get that album? Can I rip it? I'm sure a lot of people have done that, all right? So they're going to allow you, if the music is in their library, it's the same as this if you have bought it, but you are going to now pay $25 to have basically it replicated in the cloud. You think about what was given up by the music industry for them to do that. Huge, 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 huge. And the more I think about that, that is really the announcement of the day, in my opinion. Now, devil's in the details on how well it works, how well it syncs across devices, if your whole library's there, how much gets synced back to the phone, what does it mean? You put press play and you're not in an area where there's no connection, then do you still have to sync to iTunes? How does that all work? I don't fully understand it yet because I haven't been able to see, just heard them talk and do the demo. But to me, that was like, whoa, that was big. Now, the folks over at Engadget probably had some of the best coverage today. I think I was following their live stream during the keynote. But there are some, there's some plus and minuses with this. And I'm sure it's going to be a thing that's going to grow over time. Now, they had one article that basically went through and just showed huge number of different types of features and how this is going to work. But they've got a new messaging system that's going to compete with the BlackBerry message system, the BBM. They've got, of course, calendar up there, notes, all kinds of stuff. But you know what was missing? Nothing I heard about. No TV and no video. Just music. But I didn't hear anything about TV or video, especially video in the cloud. So that made me go, Now, what I think is also going to be cool, and I don't know how they're going to set this up on device limits, but I'm almost positive if you subscribe to Geek News Central on your iPhone and you pick up your iPad, those are going to sync. So you're going to be able to have this cross-glass experience. You're not going to have to worry about setting up different configurations. It's going to be kind of cross-melding. Now, that could become a challenge, especially if you're going to have to select what you want to come over because they've got to have ways to exclude it, because if I want this to work together with my wife, I don't know if that will work real well because she has different apps, I have different apps. So maybe there won't be that complete cross-pollination, but It is very, very cool. And what happens if my wife wants to listen to my cloud music? And, you know, there's going to be some things there that we're going to have to kind of figure out how they've got it implemented when it gets done. But again, AntiGadget's got a huge number of articles. I think tonight there was like 20 on their website. But I want to go back to talking just a little bit about some of the 200 new features that are coming to iOS 5. We're going to have the iPad split keyboard. We're going to have LED flash on incoming calls and alerts. There's going to be custom vibration patterns, which is cool. I don't need this so much here, at least hourly weather forecast. Swipe to delete songs and playlist. Restore from iCloud. That's cool. Improved FaceTime quality. So this is just a few of the 200 new features in iOS 5. But the question we need to ask is, how's this, you know, is the ability to, well, Jobs is saying he doesn't want file system. They don't like file systems. Well, I like file systems because it keeps things organized. And he says that the file systems need to go bye-bye. He explained that the company's working vigorously to eliminate the need for a file system of the sort that personal computers have had ever since the first ones with floppy disk arrived. He's talking about iOS, but it starts to nibble away. And I like stuff I can organize. If I can organize it, I don't care how they call it, folders or whatever, I want to be able to find stuff. Now, even more amazing is that Lion is only going to be $29 to upgrade. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a pretty big upgrade, and they're only going to charge $29 for it. Why? And the more I thought about it, the answer really was kind of just like, oh, the operating system is no longer important to Apple. Microsoft is in the software business. They're going to sell you an upgrade. It's going to be $149 or $199 or whatever it is to upgrade to Windows 8. Apple's going to charge you $29 to update to Lion because they want you to get in and buy apps. They want you to buy the ecosystem. Their monetary ecosystem is in cloud, in additional services, in App Store, in all the other buying music, renting movies. That's where their money is being made. So that's why they're nearly giving away Lion. And they want as many people to upgrade their machines as possible, as quick as they can. So why are people still on XP? Well, many times they're on XP because, one, they don't want to have to upgrade because it's a big pain in the butt. Number two, it costs money. Number three, they say, I'll just wait and upgrade until I get a new machine. Well, Mac users are getting a $29 software upgrade. They're not, you know, it's like, yeah, here's just $29, just upgrade. And they don't talk about hardware requirements or anything like that. So to me, that was like, Now, why did Apple also embrace Twitter so big? Twitter has made, they really showed off Twitter heavily in the keynote. Does that mean Apple might be going after Twitter? But there was no straightforward music subscription services like Rhapsody, Napster, Slacker, Moog. So maybe they don't want those on those platforms. So lots of cool stuff. So do you think iCloud's going to work? For those of you that are Mac users, are you excited about this? Love to hear your feedback. And drop me an email here at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, and we'll go into it and drop me a note. I'd love to hear your feedback on the announcement today. Didn't want to spend as much time as I did here on this, but I thought it was worthy of a thing to cover. But one thing for sure iCloud does is it puts additional pressure on the internet service providers. And the folks over at GigaOM says, okay, what does this mean? Does this mean our internet service providers are now going to be like, oh, we've got another reason here to implement bandwidth caps? Maybe that's the case. But for sure, there's going to be a lot more bandwidth being moved, and you're going to be pressing. You just watch the amount of. I'd love to see you, all of you right now, when you get your bills from AT&T. Look at your bandwidth usage, okay? So just keep an eye on that and see where you've been for the last 6 months. And then as soon as these features start rolling out, these cloud features, don't change your habits any as much as you can, but see how much more bandwidth you're using on your AT&T mobile plan or Verizon mobile plan. I'd love to see where that's going to be, and I'll measure what we do here and the differences that we see. So I'm sure it's going to be a percentage, you know, at least 10 or 15% higher. Well, don't weigh out the folks from the Linux folks, because with the Google fleet of Chromebooks making their way to market, Mozilla has decided, maybe this isn't Linux, but Mozilla has decided to release a similarly browser-based desktop interface known as Webian Shell. As of now, and I'm reading this from Engadget, says, as of now, the prototype app consists of a screen-encompassing web browser which essentially replaces your desktop interface. There's an address bar running across the top of the screen, and I have a link up here for you. They plan on releasing this on a Windows, Linux, and Mac. Oh, the Mac OS X users can also download this right now. But anyway, this is new. Oh, this is just a more fancy browser, but they've got a YouTube video here on this. Let's see if I can. This is it's a little long, so we won't play it. But so Mozilla is obviously a little bit worried about what's coming with Chrome. Very, very obvious here. Now, as far as Google Chrome and the Chrome OS and the Chromebooks, I think that Google is maybe going to be a little challenged here, but the ability to run apps on your devices and not so much on your desktops is a pretty powerful part of the iPhone, iPad experience, right? So can Google in the Google Chrome OS and with a web browser, and I think we saw this with some Angry Birds demos, duplicate the same application feel? Can they make the Chromebook experience feel like the iPhone or the iPad? Can they make it so that, okay, so if I want to load the Twitter app, and obviously with the Chromebook, I could go to twitter.com, but let's say if I want more features like some of the Twitter apps provide, will I get the same experience? Will I get the same quick responsiveness? Will stuff update on a regular basis? I don't know. I don't know if that's going to, how that's going to feel. It's going to feel different, and we're definitely going to be experimenting with that here and talking about those deltas in the Chrome show that we're going to be launching. So I'm sorry, I'm yawning here. I'm trying to cut the Red Bull, and I haven't had one in, I think, 2 weeks now. So end of the day, I'm out of power. So helps me carry me through. But anyway, we'll see what happens with this. If you guys are bored about me talking about Chrome OS and about iOS 5 and stuff like that, you know, this is a big day on this news, but I'm just going to go ahead and move on now. Let's talk about Bitcoin. We talked a little bit about Bitcoin this weekend, but Bitcoin is under the gun. We talked about a website out there that's selling illicit substances. I think we talked about it on the last show, but Senator Chuck Schumer this weekend on Sunday came out swinging and said, hey, he said, Bitcoin is a money laundering enterprise. And this is big. When he says something like that, stand by. Maybe Bitcoin itself won't be under attack. But according to Schumer, Bitcoin in the tender and the transactions taking place, which a lot of it is a bartering situation, they're saying that this is a money laundering situation at its best and should be investigated. And I'm sure it is. Would not want to be the person running that specific site, because you can't imagine law enforcement not being very actively involved in trying to figure out where and who's running that. Little article over on Slashdot, and actually this was all over the variety of news channels today. I saw those as I was surfing the net, and probably saw it early as well, but Currently, China is real not happy with Google and talking about the hacking situation. And Google, they're basically saying that Google has become a political tool for the U.S. government and that they have vilified the Chinese government. And this was in a Beijing newspaper and basically warning that the U.S. internet's giant statements about hacking attacks traced to China could hurt its business. So in other words, here's what China's saying. You want access to our people. You want access to traffic into your websites. You better shut the heck up now and quit talking about this hacking stuff and be a good company that's has to abide by Chinese red communist rules. You know what Google should do? You know, they should stick up their hands and use a specific finger on their hands to tell the Chinese government just to go, you know, do what? And I'm sorry, that has got as close as I can to without, well, it isn't. It's over the top. But here's the thing. If they hear hacking accounts and it's coming from China, so be it. Hackers come from all over the place. They come from Russia. They come from the Middle East. They come from everywhere. So why should China expect any special circumstances? China thinks they're going to own and that they're going to take over everything in this country. They think that we're a bunch of idiots. And I have a lot more confidence in us as a people and us as a country than to go into to be swayed into thinking that essentially companies should have to bend over and basically kiss China's butt whenever they ask for, you shouldn't talk so negatively about us. It just irritates me a little bit. And if the hackers came from China, so be it. If they came from Russia, so be it. If they came from the United States, so be it. Report it. But they're all sensitive about it because it's true. All right, moving on here. NASA's saying that the edge of the solar system, our solar system, is filled with bubbles. Now, this is being found by Voyagers, the Voyager spacecraft, number 1 and 2. Says the edge of our solar system is filled with a turbulent sea of magnetic bubbles, according to new NASA research. Scientists made the discovery by using a new computer model, which is based on data from the NASA's twin Voyager probes. And, of course, we know that the two probes have been in the heliosheath for a while now and through the terminal shock phase. And the discovery suggests that researchers will need to revise their views about the solar system edge. So they're saying a more detailed picture of the region is key to understanding how fast-moving particles known as cosmic rays are spawned and how they reach near-Earth space. So I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. A little bit of more space news here. Here's some conspiracies for you. Did an amateur astronomer spot a secret Mars base? Have you seen this? A mysterious object spotted on the surface of Mars by David Martinez. While he was pursuing the planet using Google Mars, a mapping program shows some pretty strong straight lines and some 90-degree angles there, which doesn't happen very often in areas where there's supposed to be no form of intelligent life. And he gives you the lat long for it on Google Earth or Google Mars. And it's pretty interesting. It is. And NASA's going to go back and see, and they're going to see if this is a computer glitch or, the conspiracy theorists are all over this thing already. So maybe we have someone observing us from Mars. Maybe that's their observatory to watch the anthill back here on Earth, or the ant farm, excuse me. For those of you that are Gmail users, there's hackers exploiting a flash bug in the new attacks. Adobe today confirmed that the Flash Player bug it patched Sunday is being used to steal login credentials of Google's Gmail users. The vulnerability was patched yesterday in out of band or emergency update, and the fix was a second in less than 4 weeks for Flash and a fifth this year. So make sure you're updating Adobe Flash, okay? And it's in their Adobe Flash player. A hacker who found some security issues with some industrial gear, specifically from Siemens, is going to be demonstrating this at a hacker event here shortly. But basically, they're going to go in to show how that our power plants are vulnerable for attack. I'm sure hope that the power plants have taken his information and have get this thing locked down before they demonstrate this. We all know that the Iranian said that what are those things they're using for nuclear? I'll think about it here in a second. Boy, don't you hate that when you have one of those? Anyway, long story short, the bug that allows the Siemens gear to be hacked is apparently well propagated through gear that's in the United States as well. So we'll see where this comes. It was with the Stuxnet worm that attacked the Iranians. They're saying that NSS Labs expects Siemens to issue a patch in the next few weeks, well ahead of the presentation. Well, that's good. So hopefully the power plant operators will get that going. Apparently big names are in talk to help AT&T get T-Mobile. And this to me is like, why is this going on? If you look at some of the firms here, 8 technology giants, Facebook, Microsoft, and 10 other venture capital firms filed letters supporting the acquisition late Monday. The letters filed with the FCC lent their support to AT&T's argument that T-Mobile deal will help the company extend its next-generation data network across the country, helping to meet growing need for wireless broadband services. And I was like, okay, so Microsoft, Facebook, and 10 other venture capital firms, could they have got investments in companies that have tied to AT&T? I don't know. But these letters are the latest salvo in the fight over AT&T to, effort to become the nation's biggest cell phone provider. But you as the public can continue to submit your thoughts on the merger as well. Hey, over in CNET, once again, hackers are taunting Sony with more data leaks. Basically, these guys that are from this Lutz security hacker group, as a matter of fact, one of those was arrested over the weekend. They've been infiltrated, and apparently one of them got picked up. Essentially, they're continuing to attack Sony sites, and I guess they're up to 7 now, 7 total sites that they've attacked. And they're actually taking donations for their efforts as well, which I find to be kind of remarkable. But they're taunting Sony with more data links and putting stuff up on websites and basically making a game of it. Now, today during all the hoopla for iOS 5, and of course we'll talk about Microsoft and their announcements here in just a second, but a Microsoft rep took a dig at an Apple fanboy, and this is kind of funny because, you know, I was watching some of the tweets that were happening during the keynote. I was kind of rolling my eyeballs a little bit because some of the stuff, you know, I've seen on Android do, and some phones can have this capability. But anyway, one person tweeted, "The volume up button can be used to take a picture on the iPhone. Love it. Pound WWDC." And then what was responded, Microsoft Vice President of Windows Phone, Joe Belafoe, responded with a Windows Phone 7, "You get a dedicated camera button that wakes up the phone from sleep and jumps you to camera. Been shipping for 8 months." He gives a little smiley face. So it is kind of nice to see, you know, Microsoft, you know, coming back a little bit and saying, "Hey, we've had that feature already." And Alan wrote a piece up on this, and some folks have actually already come on over to the website and have already commented and saying, "What do you mean Apple's looking in the rearview mirror at Windows Phone 7? They're saying, they're actually looking underneath their feet, or basically like they've stepped on Apple on Windows Phone 7. But, you know, Apple has not, since the introduction of the iPhone, they've done incremental small increases, and they've really done nothing to the, you know, too dramatic over that time. There's been some cool stuff, don't get me wrong, but you look at what Android's doing, you look at what Windows Phone 7's doing, they're all, you know, they're working hard, they're pushing here. So I don't think that the Apple folks or Apple specifically should be resting on their laurels. Now, CNET has a great video. I don't dare play this because I don't know what their retransmission rights are, and I don't want to get in trouble with CNET for playing one of their videos on the show. But they have a video for those of you that are Xbox users. You'll want to see the new Xbox Kinect. And the E3 gaming show in LA, the company's showing off a lot of its new products. And the new Xbox Kinect featuring voice recognition and gesture-controlled gaming they got some really cool stuff going on. So if you're a big gamer, I'll have this link up in the show note. I'll have it linked up as CNET. Let me see if I don't dare play this. And I have to see at some point if I can't do that either because it's going to try to play it. So anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes. You can check it out and play it yourself. But the folks over at Microsoft have, you know, what a week to have the E3. And of course, you know, they knew WWDC was going on, so they're going to be competing with that. But on the Xbox.com website, you can actually watch event coverage. You can watch the latest news, videos. They've got all kinds of highlights in here. So if you want to see what's happened at E3, this event is going to be continuing for another 3 days or until the 9th. So definitely check out the blog and everything that's been going on over at Xbox.com. And I'll have a link up to the actual E3 page. You have to go to the community page and then into E3, but I'll have that link for you so you can get straight to it. But lots of cool stuff going on by Microsoft and the during E3. Now, interesting thing is going on with Verizon and some Android phones. You know, Android's supposed to be this open platform. They're not supposed to be doing restrictions. The phones are supposed to be able to be jailbroke, all this different stuff. But apparently, what Verizon has been doing is asking Google to disable some applications so they can't download them into the phone. And essentially, what they're doing is they are making some phones untetherable, especially some of their 4G phones. So you want to be careful out there when you're getting ready to buy a new Verizon 4G Android phone. You need to ask the people that are selling you the phone whether or not it can be tethered without an additional charge. But it appears that this is the next battlefront. So there's actually been a lawsuit filed that suggests that at Verizon's behest, Google is disabling Verizon customers' access to third-party tethering applications on the Google Market App Store. And so what's going on is, let me try to find the name of the group that's going after them. I can't see it here real quick. I thought it. Fierce Wireless, which is another wireless provider, recently cited a Google spokesperson explaining that the search engine giant wasn't blocking the app, just making it unavailable for download. In response to requests from the wireless carrier, Google wouldn't disclose which carrier to ask for what for the action on this front, and Verizon is being coy with this. Oh, as for the free press, the advocacy group seems pretty sure on what's going on. They haven't filed a lawsuit. They went to the FCC and asked for an investigation. So Free Press is the group that's actually kind of raising a flag on this with the FCC. The folks over at Universe Today have put together an awesome last ever shuttle journey. And basically, this is the last time the shuttle is going to be launched. And this is going to be a proud moment for us. Space Shuttle Atlantis was rolled out to Launch Pad 39A, and they took lots of pictures on its way out and on the way to the launch pad. And there's just a whole series of stuff here. Shows it on the roller, team members and so forth, getting it out to the launch pad and so forth. So I have this link up in the show notes for you. Oh, I thought I was bringing it up here. And just beautiful. And they've got Atlantis looking just gorgeous. And it looks like they actually did a paint job on her before launch. But this launch is just a few weeks away. So look forward to seeing Atlantis head out to the International Space Station. So cool set of pictures over at universetoday.com. All right. Interesting article over at torrentfreak.com talking about, is YouTube killing music privacy? And I got to thinking about this for a second, and I asked my kids, Andy, are you guys watching music videos on YouTube? And my son, who was just a year younger than my daughter, he said, no, he wasn't. But my daughter's like giving me a roll of the eyes. I'm like, Dad, how do you think I'm staying abreast of all the latest dance moves? And so she's, you know, she's giving me this, Dad's dumb and he's never been a teenager before. And, you're a dinosaur. And one of those types of, conversations. And I asked the kids quite often, you know, what are your peers? Are you guys sharing music? What's going on? And they are using YouTube and a variety of other video sites to, you know, how we used to tune in MTV. This is how they're tuning into music. And YouTube loves it. They love that the folks are doing that. And it's a big part of their business, and they make a lot of money on that. So that's kind of funny. And it appears that YouTube can make as much as a couple pennies a play, and the artists as well. So I guess this might be the case. And I just wonder if peer-to-peer stuff is going to, as we go from one generation to the next, if they will use it as much as the current generations of people using it. It's hard to tell, really. Now, for those of you that live in a Verizon service area and have the availability to get Verizon Fios, you know, I continue to be insanely jealous. And, you know, I have to look at this. I got to show you guys this screen. This is a link up to Verizon's National Triple Play. And, oops, wrong screen. And let me take that down. So what we've got here is it shows the variety of bundling. So they can get essentially cable, telephone, and a 35 meg internet connection all for $130. And it looks to me, I'm thinking to myself, if you still have a landline, you're probably going to be paying $20, $20, $25 a month for a landline. Your normal cable bill is at least $100 if you're getting, you know, any type of premium channels. And then add internet on that. And normally that would be $40 or $45 by itself. But here they've got a 35 meg plan. They've got Ultimate HD. And they have, it comes with some additional packages and along with the phone service. So it just tells me that this is, you know, they've really got to figure it out on these triple plays. So if you live in an area where there's a triple play offered, and, you know, you're still maybe, you got your services broke up, you know, I really hadn't paid attention to it. We've got it here, but it's not really priced competitively. So in your markets, definitely look at triple plays and see if your cable provider, whether it be Verizon or Fox, or obviously Verizon or Cablevision or Time Warner, and see what they have available for you. You might actually be able to save some money if you're still wired up. The new ComScores are out on mobile usage. And in January of 11, Google held 31.2. In April, it held 36.4. Apple had 24% in January, 26% in April. RIM was at 30.4% in January and has dropped to 25.7 in April. That's a 4.7% drop. Microsoft is holding 8% of the market, and it dropped to 6.7% of the market in April. Now get this, Palm is coming in at 3.2 in January and 2.6 in April. So a huge, huge, huge drop off by both Microsoft and RIM, and then huge gains, of course, across Google is knocking it out of the ballpark. So I have this linked up to these numbers on where mobile devices is, and it actually breaks out Android phones too by OEM. Samsung is definitely far and above everyone else in handset market share as far as the Android market goes. 24 for Samsung, 20 for LG, 16.5 for Motorola. Oh, this also includes Apple, 7%. That's weird. And RIM. So what is this? Tobo OEM 3-month. Oh, that's just by manufacturer. So Samsung is 24, LG's 20, Motorola 16.5, Apple 7, and RIM is 8.6. Doesn't make any sense. Share percentage of mobile subs. That's weird. Oh, that's just straight mobile, not smartphones. Okay. But Apple doesn't have anything but smartphones. That chart's weird. Link will be up in the show notes. Sony PlayStation 3 claimed the lead in Netflix streaming, adds VOD, video on demand, from Best Buy Cinema Now. So now on your Sony PlayStation 3, you can get channels like Vudu. Of course, you can do PlayStation Movie, Major League Baseball, PlayStation Home, Hulu, Cinema. So you got a variety of stuff here available on your Sony PlayStation 3. And that was announced at an E3 keynote. Also, the Sony PlayStation Vita, a little handheld, is officially available for $249. The Wi-Fi version is $249 for Wi-Fi, $299 for the 3G version. And I just love the set that they have at E3. It looks just almost Star Trek-y almost. I think you'll agree when you go over to the website and just look at where they were able to give keynotes and so forth. You'll be like, wow, very cool, very expensive keynote area. And a big, of course, big, huge screens. How many of you use the Google Calendar and you actually book stuff in there and create slots? They've made a change to Google Calendar, and essentially now with appointment slots in Google Calendar, any individual business can manage appointment availability online 24/7, and it's pretty easy to set up. They've got a link here on how to get it configured, and so you can show multiple people's schedules and stuff. It's really, really cool. So I have this link up in the show notes for those of you that have been using Google Calendar. You want to check out this new feature. I want to show you a picture that was up on Gizmodo. This is absolutely terrifying and just shows you Mother Nature at its very, very best. This is a picture of the volcano in Chile erupting. And obviously, they got some interaction going on there with the sun, probably at a low angle. But if you just look at this, this is... can you imagine 1,000 years ago and being, you know, an indigenous person and you are looking at a volcano blowing like this? You would think it would be the end of the world. You look at this picture and even in, oh gosh, that just drives me crazy. I've got the wrong thing up here. I did this the other night. Okay, let's try that for those of you that are watching. So I need to look at this screen more. So Chile's, anyway, look at this just absolutely stunning image, and I'm going to go find this. I think I'm going to make this my new desktop background. It's scary, and it just reminds you how scary volcanoes can be. Do I have the right thing selected? Yes, I do. Okay, you're back with me. Over on Slashdot, The Guardian is reporting. Actually, this was an article on Slashdot, but it was initially reported on The Guardian. The Guardian reported the FBI and other government agencies have persuaded up to 25% of U.S. hackers to work for them. You know, does that mean that they have busted them and then said, hey, you work for us or you go to jail? This is pretty big. This would be a big number. Says the Guardian reports that the FBI and CIA have persuaded up to 25% of U.S. hackers to work for them. Let me bring up the Guardian article. That seems like a huge, huge number. 1 in 4? It says here, the underground world of computer hackers has been so thoroughly infiltrated in the U.S. by the FBI and Secret Service that is now riddled with paranoia and mistrust, with an estimated 1 in 4 hackers secretly forming on their peers. Cyber policing units have had such success in forcing online criminals to cooperate with their investigations through the threat of long prison sentences that they've managed to create an army of informants deep inside the hacking community. So, you know, once they're turned informant, can they still do the things that they're been caught doing? So, pretty strong words here by The Guardian. Anyway, I'll have a link up in the show notes. What do you guys think? Of course, if you're a hacker and you've been persuaded by the FBI to cooperate, I don't think you'll be telling me in a voicemail or an email to the show, but if you want to, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. And of course, you can tweet me at geeknews as well. Hey, CERN is pretty happy. They've been able to trap antimatter long enough to do serious science on it. And they say now they've been able to trap antimatter for as much as 15 minutes. So they're now going to be working to bring in some new lasers to be able to kind of interact with the antimatter and look at it closer. Of course, they're keeping the antimatter from annihilating itself by keeping it contained within a magnetic field. So pretty cool stuff here. What's going on with the folks at CERN, and they are, they're pretty excited. And of course, being able to hold a, antimatter for 15 minutes, it's huge. You know, that's, unbelievable, really. Hey, RSA has finally come clean saying Secure ID is compromised. So if you've got an RSA security token, one of those little deals that has a counter on it, from RSA, it may not be, such a good thing to use anymore. They do have a fix in place. And are going to be starting to replace tokens. How many of you have got devices or monitors that when you shut your lights off, you can see the little glow of the button? Doesn't it just those things drive me crazy. Well, someone drove them as crazy as it drove me. And what they've come up with, something called light dims. And basically you peel off a little black sticker and put it over your power plug on your monitor. And it basically dims the little light. And so that way your office or your living room doesn't feel like Christmas all year round. So light dims are available. And, you know, a little piece of tape and some black paper will work too, I think. But these are a little stick-ons. So, you know, get fancy. And I think they're $6. So they're nice and neat. So look cool. Sony PlayStation 3 makes up 30% of Netflix streaming usage. So I think Sony had already, we talked about that earlier, but I knew there was an article in here somewhere that quantified how much. All right, let me go ahead and look in the email. What we got to do is we've got a prize to give away. Let's see here. Is this the show? Yeah, this is the show we're going to give the prize away. And let me go look here. You know, I'm woefully not prepared tonight to do this. I did not do the totaling and have everything broke out. So what I'm going to do is we only had 3 entries. We'll push this to the next show, and then I'll give away the prize on the next show. So my apologies. I just didn't go through it. I thought I had everything ready, but I don't. So we've gotten a number of people that have voted on the last entries. If you want to submit some more votes, I'll go ahead and let you do that before the next show. But let me look and see what we had for. I think I only had 1 email come in from a regular email, and it was from Tim. He says, here's what Apple has in store for iOS 5. And he sent me a link over to a Gadget Box at MSNBC. So anyway, some of the same stuff we've covered tonight on the show. But kind of a slow email weekend. I think you guys are all starting to enjoy the summer. And what I'm going to do, since that is generally the case during the summer, we start to see everyone kind of going outside and enjoying life more and after being cooped in from all the crappy weather. So we're going to start running some more promotions. And we'll probably do 1 or 2 or maybe even 3 a month. And you'll need to listen to win. And what I'll do is we'll give away the prize for the 20-year stuff on the next show, and then we'll go right into a new contest on the next show. So I guess that's it for tonight. No voicemails. So if you have comments, you can call in to the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com for the email comments. And we want to thank you guys for hanging out. You guys like it without me having a headset? I got some new in-ear earphones, and don't know if I'm 100% liking them yet or not, because my ears are already saying ow. So it'll take some time, I guess, to get used to those. But hope you guys like the show tonight. We spent a lot of time on iOS, and quite literally, my butt is dragging tonight. I definitely needed a Red Bull before we started, but we'll let you out of here. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. And yes, for those of you watching the video, I will try to make sure I'm paying more attention to how I'm switching and the overlays and everything else. But until next time, we'll see you. Take care and aloha.